Let's bring in James Sherman of Soccer Central. James, thanks so much for joining us. We'll leave aside the game for a minute, but I found what we saw last night. I found the Greg Vanney's answer to what Chivas was doing. It was fascinating, and it makes me wonder what Greg Vanney may try to do now when they go on the road. Can you see him? Can you see him essentially doing what they did in the second half?
Hi, Jeff. Yeah, and it's a good point. I think Greg Vanney should get a lot of credit for the little tweak he made to the team in that second half yesterday. It went into more of 4-4-2, I think. Mm-hmm. It's hard to really say. I mean, listen, we get so caught up in the formations, don't we?
And guys move around all the time. Well, I mean,
yeah, exactly. Within a game, formation changes depending on who's got the ball. So I think we get caught up in formations a lot, but the little tweak, pushing Oro up the field further, it did enable TFC, I think, to create a little bit more. And up until that point, Chivas, as they are wont to do, were defending man-on-man really well. They were pressing, they were rushing and forcing TFC to pass the ball, and we saw a lot of misplaced passes, especially in that first half by Toronto. So going back now to Mexico, it will be interesting. It's going to be fascinating. Obviously, TFC needs at least two goals, which is very difficult against a Chivas team, which is outstanding defensively. They've given up just two goals this entire Champions League campaign, one of which came last night, of course. So does he revert to more of a 4-4-2 diamond? A lot depends, Jeff, I think, on who's healthy.
Mm-hmm.
I really think Victor Vasquez, if there's even a chance he can play, you've got to get him in there.
Yeah.
It's a tricky one with him. He's got a back issue, that there's nerve issues, sciatica type thing. So what they're saying is he could play 10 minutes. He could play 90 minutes. They don't know. I think it's worth the gamble because you need that type of player to counter that type of defense. You need someone to unlock the defense. And really, he's the one guy on TFC that could do it.
Yeah, and I guess if you're TFC, in addition to the adjustments you're going to make, you do take solace in the fact that Alex Bono is probably not going to have a game like that again.
It's a good point, and I feel Alex well as well. I feel bad for him. He's been so good TFC, and I mean this tournament alone this season, every game he seems to make a big save, and that one the last match before last night, one of the best saves you'll ever see. And Craig Forrest said that, forget what league it is, one of the best you'll ever see. But the bottom line is that second goal in particular last night, that was on him. He misread it. Now, there may have been a swirling wind. We don't know. We do see these goals go in, but he was off his line out of position. And in respect to him, he totally owned it post-match. He was not hiding from it. He met with the media post-match and he said, yeah, that was me. I just misread it, as simple as that. He's a young goalkeeper. They make mistakes. Mm. He'll learn from this. And speaking to Michael Bradley and Drew Moore after the match, they were not in the least bit concerned about Alex Bono. They're saying he's not the issue, and he'll bounce back. He's a pro. He'll be just fine. But that one there, we'll eat it in for a while.
Is there a team in Major League Soccer that would be capable of man-marking TFC the way Chivas did? And in other words, once this run is over, we're going to have to start focusing again on MLS. And I'm wondering if there is a team in MLS that might be looking at this and going, okay, that's interesting. It clearly created a little bit of discomfort for Toronto. Because one thing about TFC, since probably, I don't know, through two-thirds of the regular season last year, the playoffs, and now is they've seldom looked uncomfortable. I thought at times last night they looked a little uncomfortable, and I'm wondering if maybe there's an MLS side or two that might be thinking, maybe we've got to try that against these guys.
Yeah, there might be a blueprint there to a certain degree. I mean, they definitely made it difficult. TFC are a team that like to get the ball and move it quickly. So if you can pressure them, like Chivas did last night, you can make it difficult for them. But, I mean, overall, I thought TFC were pretty good last night. I thought they were the better team for most of that game.
Mm-hmm.
And they should feel somewhat aggrieved to not have got at least a draw. Listen, their finishing wasn't great. It's simple as that. If on a different day, they could have scored one or two more goals. You wonder about Jozy Altidore. He was vomiting in that first half.
Right.
I thought he might be coming off at some point. So how was he playing? He wasn't top form for sure. He was a bit, laboring out there. And Greg Vanney said post-match that a number of these players have a stomach bug. They got in Mexico last week. So, did that affect them? Perhaps. But sure, I mean, if you're an MLS team and you've got to find a way to beat the champions, this so-called, greatest of all time, maybe you do try that. But overall, as much as they were, you know, uncomfortable at times, I thought overall last night they were actually very good and controlled much of that game, especially after that opening goal. You know, you can see many teams shut it down after conceding early. They didn't. They kept coming, and I thought at times they would look very, very good.
Jonathan Osorio now has 4 Champions League goals, tops in the tournament. And Chivas had a 301-minute shutout streak coming into his goal. Is there a player in this team that's come as far as him? Maybe Bono. I mean, he's on the U.S. He's certainly in the forefront of the U.S. program right now. So that's certainly a significant step up for him. But has anybody come as far as Jonathan Osorio?
You know, Bono got the gloves, and it was never a question, right? Whether Irwin gets him back straight away, he was the man. We've seen Ozo come in and come out of this team over the last couple of years. He's had some bad patches where Greg Vanney didn't trust him necessarily. But you're right. Since the last 18 months, he's become a key figure for this team and a player that Greg Vanney very much trusts in the biggest games. I think you're absolutely right. I mean, Marco Delgado's come a long way.
Yes.
But I'd say Osorio, for me, for sure, has come to a point where he should be a guaranteed starter for Canada. Now, he's pretty much a guaranteed starter for TFC in the biggest games. He keeps that ball. You're not going to get it off him. He's smart on the field. He can be creative as well. He likes taking a player on one-on-one. And now he's added goals to his resume, which he didn't have before so much. And you're right, 4 goals, that's the golden boot leader right now, everyone, in the Champions League. That's pretty impressive, scoring some of the biggest goals in this team's history in recent weeks, scoring in every round so far. I'm with you. I'm a big fan of Osorio. He's really matured, maybe a bit of a late bloomer, but really matured into a very good player.
So Toronto FC goes back to Mexico. How did they approach this game? Because, I mean, as you say, essentially you need 2 goals. I mean, even a 1-0 loss, I always come up a little short in these things, but I think even a 1-0 loss would be good enough for Guadalajara to win the aggregate series. So, tactically, if you're Greg Vanney, do you go for it right from the start? Do you kind of go balls to the wall right from the start? Or do you have to be a little more guarded and maybe sort of feel out your opponent, especially in their home pitch, for the first 20 or 30 minutes or so, and then maybe kind of step on the gas a bit?
I think you're right there. I mean, they need 2 goals at least really to advance here. Greg Vanney is not the kind of coach to lose his head straight away and just say, come on, guys, let's just go for it straight away. He'll sit back. He'll get a little land. He'll make adjustments in-game. He needs to have, as mentioned, his players healthy. We hope Chris Mavinga's back, of course. He left at halftime. I think it's, you know, just be patient, be somewhat pragmatic at first. Just control the game where you can. Don't forget that the Chivas, you know, they are a very good team. But they're not playing well domestically this season, but they won the Clausura last season. In this tournament, they've been very, very good. They are one of Mexico's biggest teams, and we should not forget that. We know TFC's run through Club America and Tigres, and this team offensively certainly aren't as good as those 2 teams, but defensively, they're outstanding. And they were missing 3 first-teamers last night as well. So don't forget that. They were under strength. So they'll be back from suspension for the second leg. I think TFC just have to just wait their chances. 2-0 is doable, right? Let's be honest. But don't forget, in 5 games, TFC are yet to win in Mexico. I know the last round in the Azteca feels like a win, but it wasn't. I mean, it was ostensibly, but it was a 1-1 draw. They haven't won in Mexico. It's not easy. It's going to be a tough atmosphere. Is it doable? Absolutely. But this is going to be a game where very much they're not the favorites. And that's, you know, adversity perhaps this team is facing for the first time in some time.
Yeah, there's kind of a contrast, too, in coaches, isn't there, between Matias Almeida and Miguel Herrera? I mean, I love, you know, some of the comments from Almeida after the game. Our team is one that has always played with humility and unity. We take nothing for granted.
Yeah, but we love the Laos, don't we? I still love the Laos.
He's the best.
Herrera, he's fantastic. I don't know what he's going to say, but it's going to be a soundbite. Almeida's just too typically football right now, unfortunately. Good coach, though.
Do you think this has been good for... Good for soccer in this country to sort of to be exposed to League MX, because, you know, I've always kind of thought that there's kind of a, I mean, I watch it a bit when I'm in Florida in spring training. I watch a lot of it, and I've always thought there's kind of a disconnect between these two leagues. Like, something, it just makes sense that somehow something's done with these two leagues. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, there should be sort of more of a cultural thing.
It would not surprise me at some point if there's a merger, to be honest with you. You know, not anytime soon, but for one day. It makes sense financially. And I think for the longest time, up until maybe now, in this season, you know, most people have looked at Mexico as being, well, that's a proper football market. That's a legitimate league. That's real, right? They're real good teams. Look at the World Cup, always a good Mexican team. And there's been this big, you're right, big gulf between Liga MX and MLS. I think this is showing us that we, over here in North America, if we haven't quite caught up with MX, we're getting there. I mean, TFC, they're obviously the flag bearer. Mm-hmm. The Red Bulls did pretty well as well. But apart from that, you know, most Liga MX teams have beat most MLS teams. Yeah. That could be changing slowly. So I think it's been really important for the game in North America to say, yeah, we're definitely on the move here. And we may not quite be Liga MX, but in the next couple of years, if not this year, you might well see an MLS champion.
Yeah, I've just kind of found this whole, you know, between the evolution of the MLS into a, you know, into a proper league with a pretty, you know, pretty good, pretty smart, pretty sound financial base. You know, the talk of course, a unified bid for the World Cup. I understand there's some other political pressures at work, but and just the TV market that Mexico presents. It just seems to me as if there's this. There's almost this momentum towards, again, quote unquote, something happening. I just think it's great for the culture of the sport to see Mexican teams up here and playing. I mean, I love the style, and you know, clearly, I mean, look at the crowds. Clearly, it's a hit with the fans as well.
You know, I think it goes even beyond that. I think it's going to be a case of the Americas, you know, getting closer and bonding closer. Copa America. In the next few years, you know, it's going to be featuring all teams in the Americas, mm-hmm. right? You know, and it has to be. It's going to be brilliant. Listen, Copa America is a brilliant tournament. It's so much fun. But it wants to expand. It needs the U.S. market to embrace it as well. So I think you're going to see the game just in this region, not just, you know, in North America, but in the Americas in general, taking a big leap forward. They need each other. And if they want to compete with the European super teams, they need to do that. And I think that might well happen in the very near future, which is exciting as heck for us football fans.